The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing and eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." You may be seated. The Christian faith is a matter of life and death. Really, it's a matter of eternity. And Jesus teaches that in the gospel reading today, and he calls out these Jews and anyone who would not listen to him. Those who reject Christ and his word are of their father, the devil. And so this Sunday of the church year always sounds harsh to us, because it is, especially to us nice Midwesterners. Being very blunt, and these words that Jesus uses They sting. They crush hard hearts. Jesus does that, though, not just to be edgy, not just to be contrary. No, when you look at what Jesus says here in this reading today, he shows the truth of God's word. And anytime God's word is preached, it's going to be divisive. In the Large Catechism, we confess even that faithful preaching of the word of God will bring about the cross that we bear. Because truth, by its very nature, separates itself over and above error or falsehood. So when you consider the call of Jesus today to keep his word, and you will never see death, this is most certainly true. So what he says, what he's teaching, does that describe you? We hear these words of Jesus today and we examine our life. First, Jesus speaks these words after he teaches at length the importance of hearing him. These Jews weren't hearing Jesus. Yes, they were listening to him speak, but they weren't hearing him in the sense of understanding these words as Jesus, as the truth, taking them seriously to heart, and then conforming their lives to those words. No, they were listening to Jesus, but they wanted to trap him. They wanted to test him. They wanted to find something they could use against him and have him killed. So hearing, they were not hearing. And seeing, they were not seeing, as Jesus said to them. So Jesus said, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." These words crush. Jesus rips open the curtain, revealing who they really are, these men who are standing before him. There's no greater accusation against these Jews that Jesus could make, because these ones standing before him claim Abraham as their father, and thereby a sonship with God. And he calls them out for their rejection. He shows them they are of the devil, and he reveals their true nature. And it's quite something. And their response to this is like what we heard 2 weeks ago. Remember when Jesus was casting out the demon from a man? And what did they say? "Well, you have a demon. You're casting out demons by the devil." They accused Jesus of this. But that's because their father was the devil, the father of lies. I guess it takes one to know one. So is this harsh, what Jesus said? Yes. Is this true, what Jesus said? Yes. Their father was indeed the devil, because anyone who is not of God is of the devil. And it's no different for people today. So Jesus responds then with those more revealing words. "I do not have a demon, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Just let those words sink in for a second. Consider what he's saying to you. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Now, for him to make that statement, he can only make that comment if he is God himself. Because God alone is the one who gives life. And that's the thing here, isn't it? That gets to the crux of the matter. The Jews are mad at Jesus because he's proclaiming that he's God. And the ramifications of it. Because if he's God, if his words are none other than the words of God himself, and they can't bear to hear these words, well, then there's a problem. And so he's not trying to get them all riled up for no reason. He's teaching them and teaching us what God does and what it truly means to hear his words and believe those words. It's quite simple. "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he will never see death." There's no wiggle room. Keeping his word is actually believing it. It's not just paying lip service to God. It's not like when you tell your kids to go clean their room and then 3 weeks later it went in one ear out the other, or when your wife tells you to do something as husband's right and I'll get around to it and you never have the round to it. It's clinging to it. It's holding fast to it. It's this knowledge, assent, and trust in your Lord and what he says. And we have that example of faith in the Old Testament reading. This Sunday of the church year always has that vivid story and image with Abraham and Isaac. Here is Abraham, who was told to sacrifice his only son, and he was about to do so when God stopped him. And there's so much that could be said in this account, but in the places where the New Testament does talk about it, the purpose and point is always on trusting God's word of promise. Hebrews 11, for example, says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." So you see in that example of Abraham for your life in Christ, not to go try to sacrifice your kid, but the fervent, steadfast trust in God's promise, that even if Abraham would have spilled the blood of his own son, God would raise him up from the dead. Why? Because God had promised. He told Abraham directly, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." And in that Old Testament reading, Isaac was a boy in the reading. He had not married or even met Rebekah yet. He didn't have any offspring, but Abraham knew he would because God said it. And if God said it, it was going to happen, even if with his own hands he was lifting up a knife to kill his son. Through his offspring, Isaac, or through Isaac would his offspring be named. And Galatians 3 even tells us that this promise of offspring singular even referred to Christ. So not only would the descendants of Abraham come through Isaac, but the Messiah himself would come from this line. Abraham heard and kept the word of God, and Isaac did not taste death. And Abraham, too, contrary to the people in the reading who said he died, was living as he believed in Christ and did not see death. He is living and saw Jesus the day he departed from this world. Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." So when you apply these things to the world today, when you look at your own self and how you go about your day-to-day life, what is it that you rise each morning and think about that? Think about. How often throughout the day is your mind thinking about God's word, his commandments, his promises? Is your life guided by God's word, or is something or someone else? The decisions you make in your life every day are to be formed by the new heart, the new spirit, the new mind that God has given to you as a Christian. Now, God is not going to tell you which car to drive or which clothes to put on. Those things, you have that freedom. But his word orients you how to prioritize things in your life, how to view your job, your family, your friends, the whole world around you. God's word warns you about what is harmful to your neighbor and what's harmful to you. He shows you what is good, what is the godly path he has laid before you for your good and that will benefit one another. It forms your decision-making. It provides and forms what you and your family gather around, what you talk about, what you pray for. It sees times of joy, times of suffering through God's word and Christ crucified and risen for you. It begins and ends each day as a baptized child of God, knowing to whom you belong to and whose name you bear. It forms what you sacrifice for, who you sacrifice for, and what you endure for the sake of the future glory to come. And in all of this, God lifts your eyes to the horizon. He strengthens you, he keeps you, he guards you as this life soldiers on. And you know that you have hope in it all. And in all of this, God is at work through his word to accomplish his purpose in your life. These are the things the intro today from Psalm 43 echoes when it says, "Vindicate or judge me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your holy dwelling. So that's what Jesus is talking about when he said to the Jews and to you, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Keeping his word means treasuring, guarding, holding fast, not letting go, persisting in it, preserving it. All of those concepts are used throughout the New Testament for that one little word Jesus uses here when he says this. So he's calling you to take his word just as seriously because it is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal life. But this isn't what we see when we do see our sinful flesh. And so this is where Jesus warns us. Don't separate yourself from the words of eternal life. One of the saddest things as a pastor is not dealing with death. Yesterday evening, I was on my way to Kansas City to what I thought was going to be doing the commendation of the dying for a three-year-old. The death of a Christian, while sad, is still reason to rejoice. Thankfully, I didn't have to do that yesterday afternoon. But the saddest thing as a pastor is apathy. It's a total lack of care for God's word. Taking things seriously, these eternal things. There are many times the word of God is met with eye rolls, ignoring or in one ear or out the other. Or that hymn beautifully puts it, why did they want to crucify Jesus? He was healing the lame, giving sight to the blind. Those are real reasons to want to kill the Lord. So when God's word isn't kept in your life and you stop hearing it, or you just go on with your life and loving the world rather than things of God, it's no surprise when you can't bear to hear God's word. It's no surprise when you want to think Jesus is wrong in his words. Or it's one thing to have Jesus who is here when it's convenient, and another thing when he is actually active in your daily life, when he cares about you enough to call you to repentance. How many of us gladly say we hear his word and keep it and believe it? But what about when God's word challenges our way of thinking and challenges our lives or the lives of those close to us? But what does Jesus say? Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And that's where each day, too, we call, Lord, have mercy on us. God, grant us a faithfulness to hear your word and keep it. And so Jesus said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. I mentioned a few minutes ago that today marks the beginning of what is known as Passion Tide. Things have gotten amped up, so to speak, in Lent. The betrayal, the false witnesses, the torture, the suffering, the cries of crucify him, and the cross, they're coming. They wanted to kill Jesus in the reading today. They wanted to stone him because he invoked God's very name. Don't anyone ever tell you that Jesus never says he's God in the scriptures. He does it all the time, and here is a perfect example of that. But you see, what God does is he uses even these evil plots and schemes of men for his purposes. Jesus loves and keeps God's word. And he tells the glory of the Father is revealed in saving you in Christ, which he has done, and he gives it to you through his means of grace. The glory of Jesus is hidden or veiled in suffering, and he takes up his sorrows willingly in obedience to the Father. My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? We are sinners, and our hope is in the Lord who died for sinners. And who are we that the Lord should do this? We're nobody. But it's only out of his divine mercy and grace that he has done this for you, and that he does know you, and he calls you by name. The Father loves the Son, and the Son is your Redeemer. There's nowhere else to go. There's no one else to hear. It's only Jesus and him crucified for you. This is the only place and the only one in whom there is redemption and eternal life. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. And so we flee for refuge to him. We cast our sin upon him, the one who has atoned for it. We make use of our baptism where the Lord has washed away our sin, rescued us from death and the devil, and given eternal salvation. In times of joy, in times of suffering, in times of where we have no idea what in the world is going on, we go to the Lord who is known and knows us. We return to him, and we live. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And Jesus is true in what he says, even as he is the truth and the life. You won't see death when you are in Christ, which is you won't see the second eternal death you rightly deserve. So whenever that day may come, or unless the Lord returns first, those words of Jesus promise you that. Even as you close your eyes in death, you won't see death. No, instead you see life, as you have Christ who is the resurrection and the life. And even though you should die in this world, you still live, and your body is raised in corruption on the last day. And so the people in this reading hated Jesus because he gave life. The devil was their father, and the devil lies along with and roams around seeking to devour prey. The devil wants death in the midst of life, and Jesus gives life in the midst of death. So don't buy into the lies. They will kill you, and you will see death. But find joy instead in the words as they show words of your Lord, and he shows you the path of righteousness lived in this world, which is a life of freedom, a life truly to live. It's a life lived looking toward the life to come, where the devil, his lies, and have been sealed in the pit. And Christ gives to you the eternal life out of his grace. He speaks with the authority of God himself and is obedient to the Father. And that glory, the glory of the Father, and offering up the Son and the obedience of Jesus, that's your glory, as he is your life. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." What beautiful words to trust and to cling to, knowing you have life in Christ. Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, and whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.